welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Saturday morning, June the 11th, 2011. And I'm honored to be with you. I really am. I get a lot of very interesting questions that people send to me. I'm very grateful for them. And I hope that some of these questions have something to do with maybe what is on your mind. If you would like to know a little bit more about Aspire, what I am, what I do, where I go, what it's all about, please come to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. There are so many things there that you can look at, from being a sponsor, which I hope you will be. It's very, very important how we keep this radio program on the air. And workshops, retreats, TV program, podcasts, video casts, past radio programs. Oh, my gosh. Commentary, I think I said that. It's all there. So if you're interested, please come. I'd love to have you. I have a workshop coming up. And while we're on the subject of events, my next workshop, it will be in Carmel, of course, at the Carl Cherry Center, 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel. It's a beautiful place. If you've ever been there, it has artwork and plays, and it's a wonderful place for you to go and take a look around. It's 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel, one of Carmel's most beautiful treasures, I think. Anyway, we're going to be there on Saturday, July the 2nd, from 10 to 3, we're going to call this the Tone of Silence, a one-day workshop from 10 to 3. We're going to be doing walking meditation, eating meditation, our two new Tibetan pulsing meditations, resonant bronze, and a deeper silence. So we're going to have a very beautiful day of quiet, of love, of care, of compassion, and maybe something will unfold in you. You are invited to join us. The donation for the day is $50. Parts of it are tax deductible. It includes your lunch, and the proceeds go to support our radio program here on KRXA and the beautiful Carl Cherry Center to help them sustain their loving efforts. And I think it's very, very important to keep that Cherry Center open. You know, all of us not-for-profits are hurting badly right now, so especially Aspire, because look what I teach. Nothing mainline here, nothing to make you feel good, emotionally and psychologically, that is. But maybe you'll find it in your heart to understand what I'm really trying to offer and come and be with us for a workshop. It isn't like anything you've ever probably done before. And if you have a sense of adventure inside, we would love to have you. Just love to have you. It would be an honor. Okay, let's get to the questions. The first one comes from Samuel in Los Angeles. He says, what do you think of this end-of-world stuff, these predictions? It seems foolish to me. Why do people keep predicting it? Well, Nostradamus did it. He was wrong. Well, everybody's been wrong. You make a lot of money when you do this kind of thing, Samuel. Geez, it's all about the money. Don't you get it? I mean, the billboards and everything that went up. I was sitting with a bunch of my students, and they were doing a countdown on it. And, you know, Samuel, if you want to get people's attention, if you want to get them and manipulate them, you do it through fear, you know? And the fact that he could get any press at all, this guy, and talk about it, and, you know, the 2012 thing, the whole deal. I mean, come on. Don't you think we're doing it to ourselves and we're a virus as it is and we'll just eat ourselves alive one day? I mean, it'll all be very, very obvious to us. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to live in this moment. And it doesn't matter to me about any of this rapture stuff and crazy thinking. We're a bunch of maniacs here in the West, and we're no different than what people thought of in the East, you know, as being fanatics. We're real fanatics. America's a very sick place. Now, Samuel, if you haven't noticed, we're extremely dumb. And I mean dumb. Dumber than dog dirt. We will buy anything that tantalizes the idea of our ego, our vanity, our pride, our need to be right, even to the point of predicting death. And if you drive along the byways and highways here, you see how people think. It's narcissistic. I don't think they ought to include a rear view mirror anymore. I mean, nobody uses it. Nobody ever considers who's behind them and the kind of havoc they're raking over all of us. I mean, it's really bad. We don't care. We don't care. I think the reason these predictions happen all the time is like going to a horror movie. People love fear. They love hate. We're in love and infatuated with hate and fear. And without those two substances, we don't know who we are. We don't care who we are. We don't care what goes on. There's just got to be enough God-fearing people to keep this all going. But what does it matter? Really? I mean, I don't care. If it ended tomorrow, if the whole thing, if they were right, and it ended tomorrow, so what? You know? So what? Come what may. What can you do? What can you say? What does it matter? The only thing that matters is love. Am I in love? Do I live as love? Can I laugh? Can I be joyous? Can I offer love to others? Can I give of myself? Can I be compassionate? Can it go beyond the idea of right and wrong, good and bad, up and down and in and out, and all the other crazy things we do and think and say? I mean, come on. Samuel, you asked me, what do you think of this end of world predictions? I think they're ridiculous. I do. But I'm going to say this to you. I'm not a Bible guy. I don't like the Bible. I just say, take the Beatitudes, tear them out of the Bible, read it, live them, and flourish. That's what I say, because the Beatitudes are the quintessence of the greatest insight into spirituality there has ever been. The Beatitudes are elegant. They are beautiful. They are magnificent, and they are just like the Tao. They're very much the ultimate truth. So I say take those out and throw the rest away. It's insanity, and it's for people who are going insane or are emotionally immature, and they just need that to get through because they need a lot of fear and pain. People need beginning, middle, and end, generally speaking, Samuel. That's the way the mind works. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. That doesn't mean that that's the way life works. That just means that's the way the mind works. And we are so narcissistic and arrogant as to think that life works according to what I could think. It doesn't. Life is inexplicable. You can't think it. It is about a love that is far more beautiful than my mind and my emotions can conjure up. So for people who are emotionally ill, and people who are emotionally ill are people who need a lot of fear and hate in their life. And, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people right now who live like that. I'm not talking large audience, but a lot of people are like that, Samuel. I would say the greater percentage of the populace is that way, probably 99%. Yeah. The rest of us are idiots running around. 1% look like blooming idiots running around because it's all about love, and we are seeking to allow love to live us rather than us to live love. And that 1% in this probably world is very, very difficult and far between, and we are the idiots. Everyone else thinks that they're right. I just can't go there with any of this. So what you've got to look at is love. It's all about love. It's really just that simple. And hate never yet dispelled hate, as the Buddha said. Only love dispels hate. This end of world stuff is insanity. And we are growing more and more insane in the collective unconscious than ever before. And you can't talk people out of it. They like it too much. They go to movies to be frightened. They'll pay money to be frightened. But how many people, Samuel, will come practice meditation and feel love? Very few. We're not interested in that at all. We only like what we can think. It's arrogant, it's egocentric, it's ill, and it does no one any real good at all. Imagine the millions of dollars this guy camping made doing this. 89 years old, and it goes to show you that age is not wisdom. Enough of me for today on that one. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, I'm just speechless at the stupidity of the American public. I really am. From their politics to their religion to their philosophy, we are stupid. You can't give people ultimate freedom. I've heard the old joke, you know, we're as free as the government tells us we are. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that there are so many of us that are so blindly stupid. I mean, emotionally ill. We are very sick people because of our emotions, and we don't understand them. We don't deal with them well, and we don't discipline ourselves. Because of all of that, we have become immensely, immensely stupid and blinded by our desires, our ambition, and our pride. Let go. You can't fix it. The next one's from Adam in San Diego. Where do I go to begin my journey? I've read them all the books. Most of them are saying that life lives within us. But where? I can't find it. Help me, Greg. Adam, I don't know you. And to help you would be probably impossible at this moment. You got to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And that's really the power of it all. When Jesus said you have to hunger and thirst after righteousness in the Beatitudes, which he did say, for they shall be filled, you have to want this more than wanting your own concepts. You're already on the journey, Adam. I can't help you with that part. You're probably overread and underdone. And people who have too many books in their brains and have read too much typically don't make great students, and nor can they be students, because they're too busy thinking about what they want, what they believe in, and what they think. So they can't really go there. They can't really grow and mature. I would be competing against everything you've read. And you would be sitting there going, well, wait a minute, Greg says this, but Deepak Chopra says that, and Oprah Winfrey says this, and you're looking at it from the point of view of philosophy. And it's not. Inner work is not philosophy. It is not something that you do because it appeals to your ego and makes sense to your mind. Jesus' teachings on the Beatitudes don't make sense to anyone. They don't make sense to anyone's mind. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many people know what that means? And how many live it? It means to be humble. It means to be kind. It means to be merciful. To put love and mercy ahead of everything. To see what you have done to your life by being arrogant, narcissistic, unkind, self-righteous, right all the time. I don't think your search is authentic because you don't read books when you're on the search. You feel the search inside you. And you start to look for a teacher, not a philosophy. You don't say anything here about finding a teacher. You can't awaken without a teacher. People like to believe they can. They think they can do a home study course. You can't. Because no one will call you on your poop. No one's going to sit there and say, no, that's not it. No, you're erroneous about this. No, you can't do it that way. You've got to come over here and work it this way. Nobody's going to call you on that. You won't even know you're doing it, quote-unquote, improperly. You just People don't want to have someone tell them that. They get offended. What was it Jesus said? Blessed is he who is not offended in me. You're overread, Adam. You probably know everything I'm going to say before I even say it. But I'm going to tell you one thing that they don't write about. It's all wrong. Everything I teach through my mouth is wrong. Everything I offer you from my heart is the path. Your path has already begun. Your karma is already accumulating. Your life is already energized. Now, where do you begin? You're going to have to undo everything you've already done. And you're not going to do that. Most people would say, what do you mean? Throw it all away? I always refer back to this, Adam. It's a biblical thing, but it's a great story about the rich man that came to Jesus and said, I have kept the commandments from my youth up. What lack I yet? He wanted eternal life. He didn't want to die. He wanted to live forever. He was a wealthy kid. He never worked, yada, yada, yada. And Jesus said something like, you know, go and sell all you have, give it to the poor, come and take up your cross and follow me. Not real encouraging words, would you say, dude? I would say very, very negative. Most people look at that and go, oh, I can't do it. What do you mean throw it all away? He meant give away everything and take up his cross, his pain, his sorrow, and follow him. In other words, come and let me help you. But the guy, as we are told, was too rich to let it all go and walked away sadly. Now, the disciples of Jesus were highly annoyed and pissed off about this. Highly. And he said, it's easier, the master said, for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The eye of a needle is two very, very closely built buildings in the east. They call it the eye of the needle. They're so close that people squeeze through. He's saying a camel could get through there better than a rich man. Now, what do all of you want to be but rich? That's your whole deal, isn't it? Huh? What if I offered you two doors, one into the mystery of life and the other one great wealth and comfort and power? Well, we all know what you choose. Come on. So, Adam, you know, where do you begin? If you're really sincere, you'll find a teacher, and he'll make you, if it's a good teacher, he'll make you throw away all your books. He'll tell you to burn them. And he'll show you how impossible it would be for you to attain to anything because you've already got opinions about everything. Who can help you, Adam? You're going to have to wipe the brain clean, and that isn't going to happen easily. You're going to have to take up your cross, as it were. Not a great image, I don't think, but it's the one they use. You're going to have to let go. Want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said. If you want nothing with all of your heart, and you can follow that nothing, you'll find the teacher you need, and then you may grow. If it's me, you better be prepared. If it's not me, I don't know what to say, but I know with my students, I'm very much on it all the time. They don't particularly love me for that, but nevertheless, you got to want it more than you want anything in your life, and I don't hear that here. Help me? I just did. And if you could hear me, you knew I just helped you a great deal. Please forgive me. Namaste. Yeah, many are called, few are chosen. People come, they listen, they go, wow, this isn't anything like I've ever heard before. This sounds so negative. Well, it's negative because, you know, you've lived so positive all your life, so ingrained in desire, ambition, pride, willfulness. There's no love. Where is the love in your life? And people have different opinions about that. It's interesting. But there are no opinions about love. There's either love or no love. As a teacher, it's a very hard thing to offer a human being. Sandra is the last question, and she lives in San Francisco and listens to us via the website at aspire.org. If it's all about love, as you say all the time on your radio program, why don't more of us go for it, as you say and teach? What's keeping us back? And I'm one of them, Sandra. People don't want to give up their emotions, Sandra. People are absolutely convinced that their emotions, the skin-deprived emotional nature of us, is the only way to love. If your emotions say, giddy up, go, you go. If your emotions say, no, don't do it, you don't do it. So the reason it is all about love, but it's not the love that is the warm fuzzy that you and I have grown accustomed to in our ignorance. Not at all. It goes way beyond all of that. Most of us are not interested in love. We're interested in the fulfillment of our desires through everything we can get in this world. It's all about getting what we want to appease what hurts us on the inside, which is our pain, our sorrow, and all that that lives within. Now, if you want to live that way, which most people do, and frankly, they love living that way, you're never going to find love. Love is found in still, quiet moments. When you are no longer appeased or consumed by your emotions. And most of us are so appeased and consumed and entertained by our emotions in order to bring about that what I call sweet and sour pork thing, which is the sweet part of emotions is that there's lots of desire and hope and all that other stuff. The sour part is that for every emotion I have and every time I act on the ones that I even think are sweet, there's a downside to them, and they often kick us in the huevos rancheros, and there's a lot of pain and sorrow. So you go into this, and everything you do that feels right eventually has a downside to it. And it gets downer and downer and downer as we go. The more you accumulate money, wealth, power, whatever, the less available you're going to be, let's say, for love. The more you feel self-righteous about being a victim to someone or something in the world and emotionally get off on that, the less available you're going to be for insight, compassion, and intuition. So it's the sweet and sour pork deal. And it's not very beautiful, it's not very kind, and it doesn't help anyone. If you really want to know about love, you're going to have to get quiet, silent. The deepest love you will ever know is in the heart of your silence. Sitting there quietly, wanting nothing with all of your heart, you achieve the place where love can live you, where you let love live you. Where there's immense amount of mercy, compassion, love, playfulness, joy, bliss. It all lives within you. We've turned everything into an emotional frenzy, an emotional ride, where everything's about right and wrong and good and bad and absolutes. Nothing in this life, nothing, Sandra, in this life is absolute but love. And if you don't understand that, there is nothing I could ever say to get you to go there. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be able to be of service to you with, would be honored if you came to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, O-R-G. Go to media, and there under the media section, you will see it. It's a little toolbar there. It says radio program. Just click on it, and you can email me from there and tell me what's going on in your life. Maybe I can help you. And maybe your question will help a lot of other people. You just never know. You really don't. It's all about love. You can see my weekly commentary, podcasts, video casts, all the things I'm doing. Right now I'm getting very prepared for our new series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. We have some beautiful new programs. And if you go to the website at aspire.org and you go to the homepage there, you will see to the right weekly news. And there you will see, aha, programs. You will see discourses. You can get the Beatitudes. You can listen to my announcements of what's coming up, what's showing on Aspire on television. And then if you go to the catalog section, which most people are afraid to do, but some mercifully go there, you will start to see all sorts of beautiful programs that I have done, things I've offered, and one of them is TV programs, and you can go and look at the sound of one hand clapping. It's a very interesting series I'm going to be doing in the catalog section. TV series, just go there, go to the sound of one hand clapping, you will see it there. I have taken 8 beautiful Zen stories. Beautiful Zen stories. They're from the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. A wonderful book written many, many years ago. Taking all the ancient teachings of Zen and putting them together. And I've taken the about 8 stories and I've built them into a series that I think you'll love very much. They're on CD. You can get them. They're a donation of $40. Parts of that, of course, are tax deductible. And the proceeds go to support this radio program and our TV program down in San Diego. Next year, we're going to be on YouTube, and we're leaving the TV airwaves and going to YouTube. And you'll be able to see all of the programs whenever you want, as you want, 24 hours a day. Ay, ay, ay. Who could take that? Anyway, go to the website. Go take a look at The Sound of One Hand Clapping. I think you'll find it very interesting. And if you want to order your CDs, you can do them right away through our safe and secure website. I am out of here. I will be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04. I really hope you'll join me. And please forgive me, and know with all your heart, I care. Namaste.